Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, Ira Melman. 40 years ago, a landmark announcement from the White House.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first.
Jim Malone pays us a visit with a look back at the resignation of a U.S. president. What happened to the dinosaurs?
The asteroid did it, but that asteroid probably hit at a particularly bad time.
Roseanne Scurble has new information on what caused their demise. And Elizabeth Lee is here in the cafe with the story of a California police department that signed up with a Chinese social media site.
So the reason for that is to create a bridge between the communications between the Chinese-speaking community and our police department.
All of that and more on this week's American Cafe. August 9th marks the 40th anniversary of the resignation of President Richard Nixon. Mr. Nixon resigned because of his involvement in the Watergate scandal and subsequent cover-up, which began when Republican campaign operatives broke into Democratic Party headquarters in the Watergate office building in Washington in June of 1972. Watergate left a huge impact on national politics, and some of the reforms enacted in the wake of the scandal continue to reverberate today, as we hear from VOA national correspondent Jim Malone.
It was high-stakes political drama on the night of August 8, 1974, when Richard Nixon went before television cameras in the Oval Office and announced he would resign the following day.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first.
In an emotional speech to White House staff on the day of his resignation, Mr. Nixon touched on one of the reasons for his political downfall.
Always remember, others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Shortly thereafter, the new president, Gerald Ford, sought to reassure a nation that had just witnessed the first presidential resignation in history.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over. Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule.
Several Nixon aides went to jail for crimes and abuses of power committed during the Watergate scandal. White House tape recordings implicated Mr. Nixon in the cover-up when he ordered aides to tell the CIA to lie to the FBI in an effort to thwart the Watergate investigation. President Ford would later pardon Mr. Nixon of any criminal culpability in a move that may have cost him the 1976 presidential election, won by Democrat Jimmy Carter. The Watergate scandal remains an important turning point in U.S. political history, says American University presidential historian Alan Lichtman.
Well, Watergate remains tremendously significant. It is still, to date, the most comprehensive attempt by a president and his administration to undermine the democratic process.
The Watergate scandal unfolded over a two-year period, much of it uncovered and documented by Washington Post reporters Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein. Lichtman says the role of journalists investigating Watergate and the president's involvement in a political cover-up were crucial.
If it had not been for the journalism of Woodward and Bernstein and, you know, their inside source, Nixon may well have gotten away with it. So the system worked, but it did work precariously, and you know, the lesson is you've got to be ever vigilant.
The Watergate scandal also led to congressional reform of the campaign finance system, though some of those reforms have been undone by recent Supreme Court decisions. Watergate also ushered in a new, more divisive political era that has become even more polarized in recent years. Norman Ornstein is a political analyst at the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington.
We began to see the tensions increase, but they were nowhere near what we have now. What I see now is a level of tribalism, not simply polarization, that is something we haven't seen in the country pretty much since the period right around the Civil War.
Americans have changed their minds about one aspect of the Watergate scandal. In 1974, 59% opposed President Ford's decision to pardon Richard Nixon. But by 2002, an ABC News survey found that 59% believed that Mr. Ford had done the right thing in granting the pardon as part of an effort to reunify the country in the wake of one of the worst political scandals in its history. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
We all know Hollywood movies are not real, but how accurate are the scenarios of deadly diseases, including Ebola-like viruses, portrayed in these films? VOA's Deborah Block spoke to an infectious disease expert to find the answer.
I want to say these people same as you.
The 1995 Hollywood film Outbreak focuses on a fictional Ebola-like virus, which comes to the United States from Africa. The virus mutates into a new strain and begins spreading in a small town. There's a mystery serum, a U.S. Army quarantine on the town, and talk of bombing it to cover up the virus's existence. Tropical disease expert Dr. Peter Hotez, who spoke to VOA via Skype, says the drama in these kinds of movies is just that, drama.
We can't stop it.
Well, the problem with these movies is they tend to give a false perception of what the real risks are from infectious diseases.
Another exotic virus is at the heart of the 2011 medical thriller, Contagion, which begins with a cough, followed by flu and brain infection, and complete panic. Dr. Hotez says the public needs to see these kinds of Hollywood movies for what they are, fiction and entertainment.
They're very poorly reflective of how infectious diseases behave, how healthcare professionals respond to infectious diseases, and how public health experts would control an infectious disease.
In fact, he says films about pandemic diseases do more harm than good.
People can have unwarranted fears, and sometimes perceived threats can do a lot of damage.
He points to movies that show fatal diseases spreading from research centers.
Work in containment laboratories are highly trained and exceedingly careful, and it's not an impossible event, but it's not a likely event.
Dr. Hotez believes the likelihood of an Ebola virus in the United States is remote. But even if it did reach the U.S., he says, it could be controlled.
If this were happening in a major urban center in the United States, it would be a very different setting where we can practice infection control, where you have a very vibrant Center for Disease Control, where you have a vibrant local and state health departments.
Your town is being quarantined.
But some elements could be realistic.
Some of those quarantine efforts may be heroic or dramatic. It's not inconceivable that you will see elements of those quarantines that could resemble some of those things that we see coming out of Hollywood.
He says we can't rely on the movies to educate the public about Ebola and other infectious diseases or about possible vaccines and drugs to prevent and control outbreaks. Deborah Block, VOA News, Washington.
Dinosaurs last roamed the Earth 65 million years ago, yet discoveries about them are constantly in the news. This past week, two new reports explain why the ancient creatures went extinct and how they shrunk into birds. VOA's Roseanne Skirbel has the story.
Armed with up-to-date fossil records and improved analytic tools, a team of the world's leading paleontologists has come to a consensus about the demise of the dinosaurs.
The asteroid did it, but that asteroid probably hit at a particularly bad time.
University of Edinburgh paleontologist Steve Bersatti led the team. He says that a 10-kilometer-wide asteroid triggered global environmental destruction with tsunamis, earthquakes, wildfires, acid rain, and sudden temperature swings.
A lot of the big plant-eating dinosaurs, those horned dinosaurs like Triceratops, bottom of the food chain dinosaurs, the base of dinosaur ecosystems, those dinosaurs had declined a little bit in their diversity. And studies have shown that that actually made dinosaur ecosystems more vulnerable. So maybe if that asteroid hit a few million years earlier, when those species are more diverse, dinosaurs at least would have been better able to cope.
After all, dinosaur populations had waxed and waned over 150 million years, which is why Brusati and his team hypothesize in the journal Biological Reviews that the ancient animals could have recovered had the asteroid hit earlier or later in their history. Yet some plants and animals did make it through the mass extinction. And another study reported in the journal Science looks at one lineage that did survive. It traces how giant, cold-blooded carnivores like Tyrannosaurus rex evolved into tiny, warm-blooded birds.
In order to work out the pattern of size reduction and the patterns of rates of evolution, we really needed to work out the dinosaur family tree first, and then we could look at what was happening on each branch.
Evolutionary biologist Michael Lee works jointly with the South Australian Museum and the University of Adelaide and was lead author of the study. He and his team focused on one branch of the dinosaur tree, the meat-eating theropods, looking at 1,500 traits for 120 species.
One group of dinosaurs was evolving roughly four times as fast as all the other dinosaurs that were around at the time, their sort of contemporaries. And that fast-evolving group eventually turned into birds.
The scientists traced that transition over 50 million years. During that time, they say, successive generations slowly and steadily.
those things to you. And so I have to say before I go that I just want you to know I found a reason for me to change who I used to be. A reason to start over new. And the reason is live with every day.
So damn frosty, the people like,
damn, that's a cold ass honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine, dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes, those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this, smells like R. Kelly sheets. But it was 99 cents. Copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grudgy f***ing men. I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down? Your Lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game. Hell no, I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those, and sneakerheads will be like,
ah, he got the Velcro.
Whoa. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is being awesome. Ow. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What you know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What you knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Whoa. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her stunt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the. I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that.
Whoa.
The built-in onesie with the socks on them.
Whoa.
I hit the party and they stop in that.
Whoa.
They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt.